This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by Mook Delivery, bringing you the food you love. Mook Delivery, like McKenna, brings a top-tier lineup. With Leif Davis-esque delivery right to your door, you'll always be winning with Mook Delivery. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
A frustrating 1-1 draw against Cheltenham and some injury problems. Eek, welcome to the Blue Monday podcast. Right, Dave, we need to be right in the middle of this, don't we? So this is the trickiest moment of the season. This is the lowest, trickiest part right now. But things are still going very well. We are in two things can be true mode here, acknowledging both sides of this equation. Would you agree?
No, I agree. This was spoken about, we'll get on to later. This was spoken about last night between us friends. And you'd rather be in the place we are this season. You know, we're second, right in the mix. Last season, we were never close, were we? So, yeah. Upwards and onwards.
Onwards and upwards. Good evening, Richard.
Evening, mate. I was just trying to recollect the last time I heard eek in the introductions. Like, eek. It's like reading the Beano, isn't it?
It's this office. There's a mouse in it. Welcome, everybody, to the Blue Monday podcast. We are live here on YouTube. If you're listening after the fact, we thank you very much. If you are here right now, we'll take some questions in a little bit. We'll say some hellos quickly to Matt, Charlie, Eric, Andrew, David, Paul, Veronica, lots of people, Tony, James, Mr. Rational Bloom is here. Well, I'm not sure he even exists, but there we go. Louis, there we go. I think we've already said hi to Charlie. So, felt a bit George Burley-ish yesterday, didn't it? The where teams, and I suppose it's the kind of compliment where teams come and camp and sit in, and we have lots and lots and lots of the ball. What was your? We'll go in finite detail in a minute, Rich. What was your general take?
It was sadly predictable, wasn't it? And I think the sadly predictable bit, I think, is the weakness we've got in conceding stupid goals at really bad times right now. And hopefully that's, well, it's a mistake. It's something we need to shed quite quickly, isn't it? Because we can't keep, you know, I think it was Jack in our Telegram group says, you keep a clean sheet, you win yesterday. You might be frustrated that you've banged on the door for 90 minutes, but at least it hasn't cost you. Well, at the moment, we were really defensively solid under McKenna, and now we're not. So that's, you know, along with the injuries and along with the misfiring strikers, we've now got a little bit of a creaky defence, Ben. They're coming threes, guys.
Let's talk about these injuries then, Dave. Don Bull and Tyrese John-Jules, pick your poison.
I mean, Don Bull was a strange one, isn't it? Because apparently he picked it up at Charlton and he looked, watched Charlton game, he looked excellent that day. Still going up to the, you know, great setup for Morsey's goal at the, you know, right, what, 94 plus. Clearly picked up a knee injury at Charlton, but surprisingly played against Bracknell Monday evening. And he did look, I think we all said, he looked as though he was struggling throughout the game and looked very frustrated when he came off. And now you realise what that frustration was, not at being hooked, but clearly injury frustration. And, yeah, seemingly a bad one. Kieran McKenna's come out and say he's going to need surgery, and that could be his season.
So I've heard.
And Tyrese John-Jules, I mean, that's the hamstring tear, torn hamstring. And
that sounds so painful when McKenna described that. He said ripped.
And again, surgery's been mentioned. So again, that's potentially season ending as well, I would say.
Right. There's a few ways I want to go with this, because I think that now opens up a January discussion and some business might need to be done. Richard, where does that leave the central midfield picture now? Obviously, we talk about yesterday and Cameron Humphreys starting, but we shouldn't be heaping too much responsibility on a player that young. Obviously, Lee Evans is not around either. Where does that leave the central midfield picture?
It's tight, isn't it? I'm just thinking, well, I guess we're fortunate that Kamara's got himself fit just at the right time. We'll talk more about him later on, but it is, I'm looking at the squad right now and, you know, maybe it's, I think Fraser Alexander might be able to play there. I think he's the under-21s captain, I think, but it's lacking experience, isn't it? There it is. Yeah. You're probably looking for someone to play out of position, aren't you? So it is, I mean, that World Cup break would have been really good for us right now, wouldn't it? But Ben's kicked us out. There we go. So we're back. But yeah, it's a bit of a challenge. Oh,
Brian. Big thank you to Brian Crane. Well, that might be Brian, but I don't care how he spells it, because he's just super chatted.
Very kind.
£10. Very, very kind indeed. Actually, I'm going to put Adam's comment up there. Could we recall Mazzunia from Orient? Orient, who have got a ton of points at the top of League Two, haven't they? That's a good point. And before you answer about central midfield, just throw in David's comment there. How close is Morsi to another band? Well, Never too far is the answer to that.
He picked up another one yesterday. Yeah. So what is that now? Has he got two?
I'll have a look, Dave. Sure. Talk to me about the central midfield.
As Rich quite rightly said, we've gone from almost having seemingly two or three weeks ago, an embarrassment of riches almost, to it is looking pretty thin. And as David quite rightly said there, Morsi is, Morsi plays, Morsi picks up a yellow card. So I think he may be only a couple away from another suspension. So that could really impact. But as you quite rightly said, good to see Cameras seemingly getting himself fit. Again, more of him in a little while, but and Egan, I'm sure, could do a job there. But it's all a bit worrying again, isn't it?
It is, and it does feel like, especially with Tyrese John-Jules being a lone player, it does feel, Dave, like that might be a spot for a signing in January, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
There's an interesting thought from Dan Connors in our Telegram group, who it's his anniversary today when we record. Oh, happy anniversary.
Dan, good stuff.
He wondered whether we might have been actually looking to sign John-Jules permanently in January, and whether that's obviously now out of the window, isn't it? But he was speculating about that. But we'll talk about the 29 chances, four of which are on target. It feels like the striking areas are really a target for improvement, regardless of John-Jules' injury, I suspect, in January.
I mean, and
now it's a necessity, isn't it?
And I think you're right about the midfield. If there is a chance of recalling Mazzunia, I guess that would certainly come in the equation, because certainly he's been playing, and I think he's been playing really well there.
Really like well. Him, Dave.
Yeah, I know they do.
Wellens plays nice football as well. Yeah. It's not like Baggett going to Gillingham, where it's headed, kick it, learn how to...
No. He would fit in. He'd slot straight back in, I think. So, that's an interesting one.
The only issue I've got is it is a long time. Look, Exeter, Pompey. December. Okay, there's two cup games, but the important ones, count up those league games. Exeter, Fleetwood, Posh, Wickham, Oxford, Pompey... And then you're talking 2nd of January, Rich, even if you do get anyone announced there, I suppose they could do 2nd of January, but still a lot of games to January before that window opens, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's did that fixture list include Pizza Cup and FA Cup as well?
Did. Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
So, and even when we play in the Pizza Cup and or the FA Cup against Buxton, you'd be thinking, right, well, you've got to give Morsi a rest and Humphreys a rest. Well, who are you going to bring in? You know, it does put us in a really difficult position. And I just wonder is there another formation that we could try which limits the number of central midfielders? But it's really difficult to figure it out, isn't it? It's, you know, we'll play the 4-1-4-1 format. I don't know. Even then, you've got to find a central midfielder,
doesn't it? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Right, let's get into this yesterday then. We'll try and hopefully we'll try and pitch this in the right way. But obviously this is off the back of this. Well, it's difficult because you look at that Charlton thing as, oh, well, you'll never see that again for another 3 to 5 years, anything that ridiculous. But then you put two frustrating draws with frustrating goals in a row. And again, I'm trying to pitch this the right way, Dave. We drew a couple of games, whoop-de-doo. First time this season we've gone back-to-back games without winning in the league as well. So
yeah, true. Yeah, you have to put it in perspective, but it's just the nature of the two games, isn't it?
It's just all this 2 points per game and Sheffield Wednesday, who we'll come to, just moving nicely. And although, little slip from Plymouth anyway. Right, let's have a look at teams yesterday then. Obviously, we've kind of sort of spoiled ourselves here in terms of the actual sort of personnel issues. But Richard, Walton, Edmondson, Wolfenden, Danasian, and problem for Danasian as well that Kieran McKenna spoke about there. Burns, who isn't going anywhere, fortunately for us, but unfortunately for him. Davis down the other side. Morsi with young Humphreys starting in League One. Chaplin, Harness, Ladapo. Thoughts, Richard?
No real surprises there for me. I thought Humphreys was excellent on Monday night against Bracknell. A lot of lovely crosses, kind of pinged balls over the top when there to create goals. He looked assured. And with ball out, it was a no-brainer kind of switch there. And then we speculated on the pre-match what would happen with the front three. We expected Ladapo to play. And it was a case of who's behind him. And I like Harness as a starter. I think we needed someone with a bit of direct running and strength about them. And Chaplin, you just kind of think against a team like Cheltenham, with respect, he hasn't scored in a while. You want to turn your form around or chuck him in. And that's the team that, you know, basically on the face of it, I think is our strongest lineup, isn't it? So no complaints from me.
Dave?
No, I think I agree. I think when we saw the team in the pub, we were, all okay with that, I think.
Edwards, maybe, Dave?
Yeah, we perhaps thought Edwards was perhaps a little bit unlucky to miss out. As he, again, okay, it was Bracknell, but I thought he was very good. All that left side was very good on Monday night against Bracknell. So perhaps a little bit harsh on him to miss out again. But yeah, all in all, no problem really with that.
So yeah, bench, Schlecky, spare keeper, Keogh, Burgess, and that illustrates the point. Camara, that's about it in terms of central midfield, isn't it? Depth now, Edwards, Jackson. Yeah, I mean, that's no criticism of how the squad's been put together. That's injuries all in the same area as well, which...
Cluster F, isn't it?
Tends to be the case, doesn't it? Cheltenham, I had a really good interview with Alfie May on Thursday. I was expecting the John Cena Lazarus-esque comeback after they said about 6 weeks ago he'd be 10 weeks. And I thought he might make it, but he wasn't around the talisman for Cheltenham. And they line up thus. Southwood, Long, Raglan, Freestone, Williams and Broome wide, Bonds, Circombe, here comes a butcher in, Ollie Inca, Norton, and Enlan Dulu, who's a decent player, loney up top from Southampton. But Dave, without the talisman,
you look at that, and I think the guys said in the preview show that they also had a couple out, certainly two, three, or maybe even four, maybe regulars out as well. I've got to question you about one thing, Rich. I've got to question you about the size of the centre-backs because they look bigger than...
Bit of the script. he was really confident with that bit of information.
I meant to mention that last night.
Freestone was a blooming unit, wasn't he? So I think he wasn't an outlier either.
When they sort of lined up, I thought, this isn't right. What's going on
here?
We'll
give Sev a right of reply on this week's pre-match.
Yeah,
we'll
give
double
him a
check. I mean,
just bury him. That's
bury him.
Yeah, let's just chuck him under the bus.
Terrible stat.
And he was working so hard last night, unsung hero of the light of our event last night as well. But yeah,
which we will talk about, by the way.
I agree with you. It was a bit of a head scratcher, that one. but heights on the internet is always a bit of a weird one.
Yeah, always a bit, yeah, hit or miss, yeah.
Do you not remember when I did the pod with Marcus Stewart and I used his internet height and he very quickly corrected me that I had him as shorter than he actually yeah. was? I was trying to praise him on his amazing aerial ability.
Heading ability and his
timing, but there we go. Right, I suppose we can jump straight in toward the first goal then early on, and perfect start in a game like this. Who wants to take that one?
Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, it was good. It was good for once. Good set piece, good corner, outswinging corner from Davis, who's I thought corners were good all day yesterday. You know, markedly improving. Bit outswinging, good movement from Burns initially. Just gets in front of his man, flicks it on across the 6-yard box, and really clever movement. Looks quite well rehearsed, where Wolfenden peels off and around the block. Chaplin does a bit of a block, and Wolfenden sort of peels off his man and around, and he's free at the back post just to tap it in from a couple of yards. Really, yeah, looked like a bit of a training ground routine that paid off there, I think.
Perfect start, Rich.
Yeah, we'd started really well with great intensity. It's one of these ones, and we need to talk about it because it was similar to Lincoln. In the atmosphere, there was a sense of anticipation and expectation, and you know, we need to build on these leads rather than just be happy with the one. But it was fully merited even that early on, and then we continue to pester them until we concede. But yeah, positive start, great set piece. Thought great header from Burns, actually.
Yeah,
didn't necessarily expect that from him. So yeah, yep. All in all, pretty good.
Until Rich.
Yeah, well, we've got one of these VAR moments, the goal line technology moments, which everyone's been debating for the last 24 hours. We have to mention Danasian turns into Roberto Carlos and runs the length of the field and the ball ends up with Harness, isn't it? And crashes the ball off the underside of the bar. Probably hits it too hard, if I'm going to be stupidly critical, and the ball bounces down the wrong side of the line.
You can't hit it too hard when bar and in's concerned, Rich.
Well, exactly right. You've got to get there. It's got all for the cameras. And even after that, we've got chances for Vincent Young forces a save.
Is there a freeze frame of that anywhere?
I think somewhere on Twitter, it might be in the Telegram group as well. We might fish that out if we've got a break. But the Cheltenham goal comes on the 34th minute after we've basically been battering them. But it's a chance where Burns crosses it. Davis completely unmarked at the back, and he can't even get the header on target. And we've just been spurning these chances, and the atmosphere at Portman Road kind of starts to get a little bit apprehensive. It's like, well, you know, we're playing really well, we're getting these chances, but it just takes one mistake and here it comes. And as always, Ben, it's a catalogue rather than a single instance.
You know, never one thing, is it?
You've got the missed chance that I've just mentioned, but Wolfenden versus Norton on our right-hand side, and Norton gets past him pretty easy. Then Olienka, the ball deceives Humphreys, who goes sliding after him. And then suddenly Davis is really central, really narrow. And Broome's got all kinds of space played in and kind of cuts for the touchline initially. And then suddenly gets a lot of power behind this shot. It goes back across goal. I don't know whether he meant it, but it's really firmly struck. And Walton is just totally caught out at his near post. It's not we're going to have to criticise him a little bit for that one. I'm sure he didn't look happy, beat the ground, punched the ground afterwards. But it's just one of those ones where you've had two opportunities to stop the ball getting across the pitch, and then the guy's totally unmarked, and it's hit with power, to be fair, but yeah, not a good one.
This is really interesting, Dave, because we've been so high on Walton, and I'm such a big fan of him.
Yeah.
But it's not unreasonable to say the soft hands goal, and we could maybe even pick another one out at Charlton. Kieran McKenna said in his interview, I was trying to decipher something to the effect of, it seems like all the shots on target we're conceding at the moment are going in, which is either a pointer at some bad luck, some good finishing, or could a couple of them be kept out? Do you remember, sorry, I'll let you come in one sec, Dave. Do you remember back in the Plymouth game, it was very much a dick swinging contest between Cooper of Plymouth and Walton as the, you know, who's the most highly valued saleable goalkeeper in the division. It feels like Walton's just
regressed
ever so slightly, and that's you know, such a big fan. I think he's great, but is that fair?
No, I think it is fair to a degree, because if you remember, you know, the Plymouth game, I mean, both those goals are absolute worldies, weren't they? Unbelievable. And we said, no, you know, Walton's got no, you know, Walton can hold his head up. You know, you can't legislate for two strikes like that. They were two brilliant strikes, but you're right, the soft hands against Charlton. And yeah, yesterday it was just a shot that, you know, up to the Charlton game, it was just a routine save for him, really. Absolute routine. It was well struck. Maybe he hit it quite early. And maybe he thought he anticipated the ball actually going across him rather than in his near post, I think. And he kind of misjudges a dive. He sort of kind of dives, I don't know, almost too early. It's an odd one. But, I mean, just going back to the goal, Wolfenden should put Norton in row Z, for Christ's sake. He's got him touch tight almost on the byline. He's just got to deal with that. And, yeah, Humphreys is a little bit... Humphreys was a little bit naive as well, trying to... All right, he's trying to slide in and nick
it. Oh, Dave, but, he gets a pass,
you know, the ball comes...
He gets a pass, though, for his age.
I totally agree, because it's a good touch.
And I reckon, Humphreys is sliding in to win the ball to start a counter-attack. Probably,
no, I think he is.
Him, isn't he?
I think he is, but... He stands up there. It was a bad goal to concede, and just out of nowhere, really, absolutely out of nowhere. But then, literally within 2 minutes, they should have been 2-1 up.
Yeah,
very similar. Broom again, really good switch of feet, and chipped a great ball in. Someone completely miskicks it. Could have been
Circum
completely miskicks it yards out.
Did the ball circumvent him, Dave?
Yeah, you know.
And then Lindelöf at the far post is sliding in as well, Dave.
But I mean, and that was it. So as far as Cheltenham was concerned, yeah, narrow, you know, perhaps should have been 2-1 up, but that was it for the rest of the game.
Yeah, there's the attacking momentum then.
I wonder where the goal is, Rich.
Oh my God. No.
For those listening on the podcast, we're looking at a bar diagram with essentially up for Ipswich and down for Cheltenham, and there are three small bars for Cheltenham on the 30-odd minute, and then
there's one at the start of the second half.
There's a little bit at the start of the second half.
Minute 47 there, I think.
Sorry, Dave.
There was a faint one there. Obviously, it's an accurate assessment. That is the game right there. I mean, I haven't seen a game as frustrating. I don't know. I don't think I've seen such a one-sided game is that for a long, long time with, you know, only one goal.
The biggest thing for me, so I'm behind the goal in the North Stand lower, and there's so much, particularly second half, and we'll talk about. I want to get Dave's view. I don't know if you've watched the highlights back and had a look at Camara's technique for his shot, Dave, but we'll come to that. But there are just crosses pinging and going from left and right. We had about 20 corners, all of which land in the area. And to me, Cheltenham, I mean... This is going to sound disrespectful. It isn't at all. Cheltenham have been drilled to manfully defend, to get in the way of stuff. And that's what they did. You know, and we mentioned number six. I've forgotten his name already. He was their centre back. Freestone's getting in there. And every time the ball dropped, Ben, on the penalty spot, there's a Cheltenham body getting in the way, if it's not us getting in the way of each other. And you just kind of think, and this goes back to the debate about the strikers, who's showing the instinct to get on the end of stuff for us? I think there are enough people forward, but when it comes to balls in the box and chaos and sticking a boot in, sticking a head in, a lot of people going with boots when they should be going for heads, if I'm being brutally honest as well. And Cheltenham just got every ball that landed in their penalty area, Cheltenham were on it and quicker than we were to react. And that was the disappointing thing for me, because we had the territory, we had the balls in the box, we had the set pieces, but just time after time, no one there to finish the job off, or someone doing a last gasp block to deny us.
It becomes quite niche, bespoke type game though at that point, Dave, where you'd almost say, okay, we'll give you four attacks, we'll give you four counterattacks just to draw you out, to stop this constant. Because like, as Richard's describing it, look, you two were at the game, I was not, but I can well imagine it. And you know, when people get entrenched, they figure where they are, you know, even in the stadium, where they are, where they're defending, where they're going to stay. And it's Neil Warnock always says, it's head it, kick it.
It's a siege mentality almost. Yeah, that's basically what they adopted. And look, they did it very well. They did. I mean, you know, was it bad finishing? No, not necessarily. Was it bad finishing?
Dave, it's often the type of chances you're creating rather than bad finishing. They're not. Yeah, it's all very frantic. And can you get a foot on the end of something?
Right. You know, the amount of times where second half where we got the ball down, Richard down the north stand end, you know, tight down the left, down the right, and balls are flashing in the box. And from where I was looking down, you think, all right, you're just waiting for the ball flash across the 6-yard box and someone to put it in, someone to get a foot to it and put it in. And the times, you know, the ball was played in, bang away, every single time. We just did not, I don't know if it was anticipation or not, probably the really good chance. But I mean, just before camera hit the post there was that excellent cross from Edwards, and Ladapo gets a bit on that. I mean, Ladapo gets a bit more on that. He scores that goal, but again, he doesn't.
Was that the stoppage time one?
Yeah, he just doesn't really show any conviction, and he gets a touch on that. But fair play, the keeper. You know, I thought the keeper played quite well as well, didn't he? Made some pretty good saves. But yeah. Again, another afternoon of frustration. But just looking back, I just look back on the Lincoln game. This is incredible. So, with the similar sort of low block, okay, we didn't score that day, 1-0, lost 1-0.
That was even more drastic, wasn't it?
So, over two games.
63?
62 shots.
Oh, so close.
62 shots, 9 on target, 29 corners. Four almost identical, 14 corners, 15 yesterday. Almost identical, 77%, 74%.
There you go, look, Dave. Horse Heller's literally reading your mind at exactly the same
absolute
point there.
Absolute just well, joke.
It's insane, isn't it? And
yeah,
one goal from those two games. And those stats are just brutal, aren't they? 74% possession, yeah. 2.74 to 0.22 on the XG is normally far more telling than any kind of shot count. Yeah. But 29 shots to three. I'm guessing that was the only shot on target. There we go. Down the left-hand side, yeah. You're right there, Dave. Only four shots on target from our point of view. Fair play to Cheltenham. 17 blocked shots, 23 shots inside
really
the box as well. Oof.
As Wade Elliott said, you know, if that's what they set up for all week, they expected it. It was always going to be the low block. They expected that, and they were, they worked on that shape, would you call it, all week, really.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, go on then. You can have a minute to think about this, Dave. I'll drop it straight on you, Richard. Why didn't the goal come? Why didn't the win come?
So there's two things for me, and I'm really basic, and this is going to sound.
Football often is, mate.
I'm after people tonight, but when this is going to sound weird. So apologies in advance, everyone in the chat. I'm going to trigger a few people. When Paul Jewell was appointed, the first thing he did was try and get us to shoot from range. You look at Plymouth at the moment, Plymouth's XG is much lower than ours. They're at the top of the division because when things aren't going right, they'll try from the edge of the box.
I think it's something like 18 XG, 36 goals.
Yeah.
It's mentally good.
They are massively outperforming. And I know that yesterday you've got the situation where Cheltenham had basically got all 11, and Lindelöf was on the halfway line and that was about it. So, you know, you're going to have people in the way, but I just don't think we try enough attempts.
Variety
is definitely it, and the other aspect, I don't know whether it's the pressure of and the expectation of the crowd, but players stopped taking chances and gambling. I don't know whether they were worried about the counter attacks that you mentioned, Ben, but to me, Harness and Chaplin disappeared out of that game second half. Edwards came on
ones
and ran.
Yeah, they're no, the ones you're right. It's the dribblers and the tight spaces.
And picking
us
off.
You need to beat a man. And it's a deflection often, isn't it? When it against the low block that gets the goal.
But when it's so congested like that, though, I don't know why we persist with trying to find angles and all that kind of stuff. Someone should just get a shot off. And camera came on. We haven't mentioned his chance. I want to get Dave's view on that one. But to me, it's having a go early, like Broom did. You know, yes, the keeper's possibly going to get a save and all that kind of stuff. But and it's gambling a little bit more rather than the safe sideways pass or getting it out to Burns or getting it out to Davis. You know, just try something. And if it doesn't come off, Cheltenham are camped in their own half, Ben. Where are they going to go? You know, we have to get back a little bit, but it's not as if they're going to unleash a counterattack against us every time, is it? So that was the frustration for me.
Edwards did. I think you're right. You touched on it briefly there. I think Edwards came on and he was always looking to meet his man, and he did once or twice, and he stood up a couple of lovely crosses. Russell Osman at our event last night also made a good point about when Edwards came on. He said, you know, why was Davis playing in front of Edwards? You know, shouldn't it not be the other way, you know, almost the other way around? But I thought Edwards was, when he came on again, was pretty, you know, pretty effective in that sort of slightly coming from deep, collecting the ball and actually having the space to go at his fullback. Yeah, I'd expect him to get certainly a start next week.
It's such a difficult balance because I do agree with what Richard says, but the counter to that is, you know, process, and trust and keep what you're doing. But if the process doesn't work, and no one loves an off the cuff player more than you, Dave, you do need a curler in the far corner,
at match winner.
A dribble where there's an obvious pass on, where we're all screaming, give it out wide, but they go inside or whatever. So
and look, some of it was, you've got to say, the luck was not on our side yesterday. You do need that. I know it's a well-worn phrase, cliche, whatever, but you do need a bit of the rub of the green. And goodness me, we didn't get it yesterday.
That's true. Hit the bar at the post.
You know, Harness's goal goes in. Harness's ball hits the bar, goes over the line, 2-0.
If we get two, done, Dave, we get five or six.
That game ends 4 or 5. Yeah, easily, yeah. Definitely.
I mean, the player for me, Ben, is Morsy. Morsy lands on the ball in such good positions, but just hasn't got the attacking instinct, I think, to find the next pass.
To be fair to Morsy, that's something that seems to have been asked of him at Ipswich rather than at his previous club. Do you agree?
I agree with that, but he has tried a shot or two, hasn't he? I saw him score from nearly the halfway line at AFC Wimbledon in pre-season. We know that Morsy can shoot. So
he pinged one in at Forest Green as well.
Yeah.
Is that right?
He did.
He pinged one in at Charlton.
There you go.
So
we know he's got it. Yeah.
He's got it in his locker.
I mean, we need to mention very briefly, Dave, we've talked about changing it up, Ben. Our new centre forward is Cameron Burgess, by the way. That was really old school. I love that from McKenna.
Yeah, God, I love that.
Gently.
Yeah.
But there's your off the cuff. All right, just stick the biggest player in the box to try and occupy
David James.
Dave, is there any danger whatsoever? I mean, maybe I'm not giving League One managers enough credit because they all know way more about Ipswich than from their data and their analysts than we'll ever know. But there's got to be a sign now because Derby, even with all their quality, were pretty defensive. Lincoln and Mark, I know Lincoln had been doing it a few games before us. Same with Cheltenham, actually. They'd had a couple of low block performances that had worked 2, 3, 4 games before. But Dave, are we also, again, back to the half and half league, and that top half probably won't sit into quite, I suppose Derby did. Is there a blueprint now for teams to come?
I think there probably is. If teams look at that, I think there probably is. Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't have thought someone like Sheffield Wednesday, perhaps you wouldn't think, but teams are going to look at that, and of course they're going to sit in. Yeah.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Whether you need a VPN to protect you while online, to allow you to change your worldwide location virtually, or maybe a bit of both, NordVPN gives you the freedom to do so. NordVPN also allows you to stream TV shows, films, and even sporting events which aren't available in your local region, changing to a country which is showing that content, meaning you can switch as seamlessly as a Kieran McKenna in-game tactical tweak with just one click. But that's not all. NordVPN can also look after you while online, preventing your card details and passwords from falling into the wrong hands, safeguarding your personal and sensitive information from harm. Think of it as a cyber Sam Morsy, offering protection to your own personal back four, but with far fewer yellow cards. NordVPN is available for the price of a cup of Bovril per month, and one account can be used across 6 different devices. Visit nordvpn.com/Blue Monday or click the link in the podcast description for more information about the offer and a risk-free 30-day money-back guarantee trial period. You'll also be helping out the pod by subscribing.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like home comforts. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home advantage with Mook Delivery. You win. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Let's just say, sorry, before you come to that, Nathan, thank you so much.
Cheers, Nathan.
Four Aussie dollars there on the Super Chat. Thank you very, very much, Nathan. He says, hope the live event, well, the love event.
That's why we didn't film it.
Is it? Hey, we're going to talk a lot about the live event at the end of the show, but it went off beautifully, and we will regale you all with tales at the end.
We talk about Kamara, Ben. Sorry, we haven't mentioned the dramatic moment at the end. Do you want to talk through that, Dave?
Well, it's right in front of you, wasn't it? I mean, obviously, from where I'm looking, that's in, isn't it? I thought it was one of those ones that hits the inside of the post and actually just nestles in the far corner. And that right in front of you, you know that's not your day when that happens. But I haven't seen it in any great view from behind the goal, but I don't think that you seem to think that he perhaps sort of cut across it rather than putting his laces through it.
I think so. That's what I could see at least. But you think it's in, don't you?
He's been on what, 2 minutes? How long have he been on?
Yeah, 5 minutes or so. Not long. And then there's another cross across the face where he's sliding in as well. So Kamara's got the instinct. I've got no problem him starting if we need options in central midfield. So yeah, just one of those ones,
almost,
isn't it?
You feel a bit inches. Sorry for McKenna on that one, Rich, because he's so clearly trying to drip in 10 minutes. I've been watching Liam Manning and Mo Issa, and you can literally see he gives him 10 extra minutes
every game topping it up.
But I think that might be going out the window. David, you absolute legend. 20 euros on the Super Chat.
Thanks, everyone.
You're all kind, wonderful benefactors, but David
needs to do another live event now. Thank you,
contributed.
Guys.
We'll get him a free ticket.
But David, I think we need to do one in Ireland, mate.
Yeah,
we'll come to Dublin.
I'm up for that.
Very kind. Right, brilliant, guys, we're going to bang through League One, and then we'll take your questions. So don't maybe type them out, but don't hit send, and we'll take your questions in just a sec, guys. I'll just rattle through, and if you want to pick a game or two each, anything particularly you feel sort of motivated to speak about. Let me just bring this up on the other screen. Excuse me. Filibuster vigilantly. There we go. So Accrington Stanley 0, Sheffield Wednesday 1. Very good day for Sheffield Wednesday, as you'll see when I read out the other results. Bristol Rovers 2, Fleetwood 2, 99th minute equaliser. Joey Barton against Scott Brown. Joey Barton red card. You love to see it. Bonkers Burton 3, Charlton 3. So Charlton have gone 4-4. And 3-3 in consecutive games. Burton are ridiculous if you look at their numbers. They've got the second highest XG in the league, and they're rubbish, and they can see tons of goals, but it's all very on speed type football. Cambridge 0, Bolton 0, move on. This one's worth anyone picking up on. Exeter 3, Peterborough 2, and they have got goals in that team, Stansfield, Nombe and Brown, haven't they?
They look lively.
You like them, Dave, and we got to play them next week.
That was a lovely win. What a lovely winning goal that was. Great little slip ball from Stansfield. I think I saw him.
He's a player, isn't he?
I saw him do similar, I think, at Plymouth the other week. And man, that's a great finish, wasn't it? Absolutely
and
ran on.
Brown, Dave,
top corner, bang.
He's tied with Collins of Bristol Rovers, 17 goal contributions.
Is he ex-posh as well, Giovanni Brown?
Yes.
Pass.
91st minute as well. So, and they were 2-1 down as well, weren't they?
They were 2-1 down late on.
They got goals. We'll bring the table up in a minute. If you look at the, you know, these kind of, and we're one of them, the team's pushing right up at the top, then look at the goals totals. Exeter are kind of rivaling it all. So there we go. Anyway, Forest Green 0, Wickham 2. Brilliant goal by McCleary in that one. God. Lincoln 1, Plymouth 1. I thought Plymouth might have a hard time there because Lincoln and Mark Kennedy haven't lost at home yet. MK 1, Derby 3. Derby starting to manoeuvre.
Yeah, a bit worried.
It could be a very hard playoff opponent for somebody. Morecambe 1, Pompey 1. Too many draws for Pompey. Oxford, nice click there. Without Brannigan as well, they win 4-0. Shrewsbury 0, Barnsley 1. Barnsley are very hard to score against. Anyone particularly you want to talk about there, Richard?
Just wanted to mention Lincoln Plymouth. We called it on the pre-match that it might be a little bit of a blippy week for Plymouth because of, you know, not a great week for them losing to Grimsby, a couple of injuries, albeit I think a lot of us were reading too much into Conor Grant. He's not made that many starts for them this season. But the idea that it was a similar game to ours yesterday against Cheltenham is certainly not. They didn't have the lion's share of the possession, certainly, but more shots on target, more blocked shots, more counter-attacks. Lincoln were a little bit statistically better than Plymouth. And, you know, Sheffield Wednesday have probably got their form going at the right time. I wonder whether Plymouth are now due their blip.
Can we just have a look?
Who have they got next?
They're away at Burton, which could be anything, okay, but could be a high-scoring draw still, couldn't it? Charlton is EFL Trophy.
Oh, those Port are kind, Vale aren't they? Look at those.
Cambridge away, Morecambe. No, they've got nice fixtures. Remember.
Farewell.
Remember with Plymouth, they've got this. I know they've played a lot of the games at home, but there was a point where they'd already beaten 8 of the top 9 or something.
Yeah.
Crazy, I'm just clutching his draws every week when it comes to Plymouth.
No, I know.
But, the whole thing with Plymouth, Rich, is what I call the Norwich 2018-19 syndrome, where you look at it and you think, okay, they are brilliant at the moment. Surely they can't keep this up. And we all watched that Norwich team just kept going and going and going. So it just sounds stating the bleeding obvious. They're either going to keep going and get over 90 points and no one's catching them, or they will have a drop.
Was there not some talk in the week of potentially was that wishful thinking, potentially Swansea recalling Whittaker?
I think someone was being silly on Twitter.
Someone just being silly on Twitter.
There's an Ipswich fan trying to be.
Norwich is a favour and recall Mumba as well.
Here's a citizen's advice bit. If you see a tweet from an unverified account that says, "I've heard," there's a good chance you might need to get a second opinion on whether that tweet is bollocks or
we understand.
Yes. My sources tell me, and you've got like 20 followers. It's like,
Do you want to talk about Sheffield Wednesday, Dave? Because when I look at Ipswich, Plymouth, and Sheffield Wednesday, I kind of think Plymouth have got the whole setup and a long trajectory. They're probably best in that regard in terms of the momentum. I look at us and I think we've got best manager. I look at Sheffield Wednesday, I think they've got the best squad.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, yeah. No, I think it's going to be tight, isn't it? It's going to be tight. You know, it's Ipswich, isn't it? Yeah, these 4 points, these last two games would have been sitting really nicely, sitting alongside Plymouth. Nice 5 point gap to Sheffield, and absolutely almost not cruising it. But yeah, the world is in a great place, but it's going to be tight, Ben. Honestly, yeah.
How are you guys seeing?
I think the three will stay the course.
Yeah, I was going to ask, that was going to be my next question. You go first, Rich. How are you guys seeing Posh, Pompey and Derby? Because you can kind of see Peterborough are not very good away from home. Pompey have got all those draws in there, and Derby obviously had the managerial change, giving everyone a bit of a head start. Do you kind of see them not tagging along with the top three?
Yeah, Peterborough, probably the ones I'd expect maybe to cling a little bit. Portsmouth, I had a bit of a downer on Portsmouth because of the way they played at Portman Road when we beat them. I just think they're easier to combat than the top three. Can you put the league table back, Ben? Sorry, I'm trying to find it. What worries me is Derby lurking there. Bolton don't seem to really
kick
fire into gear, do they? Yeah. Barnsley, similar, kind of a little bit inconsistent. Exeter are lurking, aren't they? Wickham, Ben, I wonder whether Wickham might clip, but that top three, I think,
not,
as Dave says.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it. Would anyone be that surprised if that was, or at least, I mean, maybe Barnsley could get moving really under Duff, but feels like Barnsley.
Two defeats there, though, isn't it? It's two defeats.
And it feels like they're
two wins.
You look at the strikers at the other team, and no offence to Norwood and Cole, and if you feel like Barnsley need a striker or two in January to, you know, when you look at Johnson, Clark, Harris, or even like Bristol Rovers strikers, you think you know a few teams would swap with them, but
it kind of feels like, I mean, we're 40 minutes in, and I guess we've been hopefully constructively critical, but critical nevertheless. Like yesterday was just one of those games that happens at League One. And, you know, we dropped points at Charlton. We could have easily, there was a point where we could have lost Charlton as well. I kind of think like we just need, these are blips that happen. We need to learn from them. There's extenuating points, circumstances with the, with the injuries. You know, Plymouth dropped points as well. Sheffield Wednesday had their moments a few weeks back. They'll kick, you know, all of us will kind of have moments, but generally I think we'll stick around 2 points a game. The key thing for me that we need to remember is we've got Sheffield Wednesday and Plymouth both at home. You know, we don't have to go to their place anymore. You know, they're quite fearsome at home. So that's, if we all kind of hover around the same number of points and then we can convert those home games into wins, then that's a really good situation. But it's lots of ifs, muts and babies. What? Ifs, buts, and maybes.
Off the back of the love event last night, lots of buts and babies, yeah. David, if Richard is right, are we going to see through winter and spring, you're gonna have to win 7 out of 10 and then win 6 or 7 out of the next 10?
I think you're right. And as Rich said, those two home games are going to be massive, aren't they? Absolutely massive, massive games by then. I mean, I'm not sure. It's Sheffield Wednesday's in January, isn't it? I think Sheffield Wednesday's in January.
We've got Plymouth is quite, coming up as well, haven't we?
And Plymouth is quite late, I think, isn't it? I believe. Oh. I think so.
But the thing I find, Dave, with this league is because of the half and half thing, you're never that far away from having a run of what would be seen as 4 hard games. Do you know what I mean?
Plymouth's mid-January to jump just to Japan.
It's the other way around, is it?
And then where is Sheffield Wednesday? Perhaps February.
January and February. At the end, so it's January. Bloody hell. Okay.
Signed some players.
Yeah signed some players. And yeah. Yeah, no, I just see it being between those three now. I hate to say, maybe Derby.
You can see them knocking out 2 points per game all the way under Warne. It's just just if they had. And yesterday at MK, Dave, there's 2 set play goals in there. And you can start to see it looking quite warning, can't you?
I think Rich is right. Peterborough aren't great away, are they?
No.
And Portsmouth's just drawn too many, although win those two games in hand. They're right in it though, aren't they?
Hard to beat, Pompey. But again, it's not about being hard to beat when you're looking to get 90 to 95 points. It's about literally dismembering the entire bottom half of the table and beating all of them, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
There we go. Right, guys, we will go to some questions, get some questions in. Richard, do you want to just do a quick plug for the Telegram group? Get your questions in via the chat and we'll answer them.
Yeah, the best advertising that we can get for the Telegram group isn't Twitter just crazy right now? All of us can buy blue ticks. Oh, no, we can't. Well, so if you just want a stable platform that kind of looks and feels like...
My blue tick wasn't purchased.
Yours is legit.
Mine is legit from when I was a musician.
Ben's got a proper tick. if you want to continue the chat in a respectful place, and it kind of, it's just really great. And we met up. It's quite a community now. There's quite a big gang of people at the Greyhound pre-match and the Telegram group. Obviously, a lot of the folks at the live event as well. So it's free for a couple of weeks. And then there's a Fiverr subscription after that. That's a pint a month. And just continue the debate. And, you know, we've all kinds of fun stuff going on there. So Blue Monday, itfc.co.uk, there's a link there. It's hosted by a company called Leveler. But get involved and join the chat and get involved in the match day group. It's really good fun. And I'm sure that'll be kicking into gear on Saturday for Exeter.
Ben bought his blue tick from John Lewis. Now, I like bits a lot, but he's going to get one finger. He's got two.
Between the lines.
Good old bits. Get your questions in, guys. Questions, and then we'll talk a little bit about Exeter, who I think we're all kind of quite low-key fans of. What do we got here? Andrew, considering recent injuries being long-term, which players would you like to sign? That's a difficult one. Do any names spring to mind? Would they be a difficult one, isn't it, in terms of, I suppose you'd be looking at if they were permanents in January and not loans. You're looking at are you looking at bottom half League One players, or do you think is there any value in the Championship and pulling them down?
A lot of chat about Will Keane last night, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was Will Keane. Yeah,
I'd chance a bid for in Lindelöf, Dave.
I thought he looked good. He was
Southampton, though, isn't he?
Yeah, Southampton. He was a handful. Someone threw because we mentioned last night, we need a fox in the box. Someone threw Jordan Rhodes' name in there last night. His name was thrown in there, but where'd you go? I don't know. I really don't know. But what's happening to someone like Brannigan at Oxford? He didn't play yesterday.
Yeah. He was suspended.
He was suspended, wasn't he? So someone like Brannigan, he's got a goal in him. But
I can't get Dobson from Charlton.
Stick him in midfield, absolute.
You're all describing Scott Fraser, though, as a kind of attacking sort of midfielder who can play central high number eight or something like that. There will be value somewhere, and it's just whether the kind of scouting has been long term looking at people, and whether they can really act quickly on the basis of we might need a central midfielder quickly.
I was going to say, did you see him play for Mateti's playing for Sunderland now, isn't he?
Oh, he's a player, isn't he? Yeah. Did he play Friday? Did he?
I think he did. Then did you not go for? I thought you were there Friday.
I was out for dinner. It's very nice.
Oh, have fun. Nice, mate. Yeah. So we all said he was one player that absolutely shone last year, didn't he? Actually got for once at home last year, got the better of Morsey, didn't he? But I think he's now playing fairly regular, I think, for Sunderland. But be very interesting. An interesting window, I think. But yeah, maybe, you know, we're someone from completely left field we've all ignored.
We will find out. Keep your questions coming in. Michael, of our players out at the moment, who are we missing? Aluko for me. What say you, Richard?
I think a lot of people were calling for an Aluko type in the 95th minute against Charlton, weren't they? Someone to keep their foot on the ball. Someone who could play in the number 10 role, but also play a little bit deeper as well. So I think we miss his versatility. He's not got reined in the goals and the assists, but I think steady head there. I think we miss Evans more than Aluko.
Yeah, do you want to just, if I just lob in Paul's question, and Evans answering Michael's question with another question, but it's down the same road, Dave.
Evans was classed until he got injured. He was really, really running games, wasn't he? Absolutely superb.
Set pieces as well.
Yeah, he was on it. He was just on it. And I think, you know, the injured Greg Lee as well, you know, you get Greg Lee back. I know, I think Joe spoke about it on the Telegram group just a few minutes ago, that if you get Greg Lee back fit, is there a possibility you push Leif Davis on the left-hand side of midfield?
Must be some Man United youth players, McKenna. We've discussed this a fair bit. It's difficult with the elite club loanees, because you get a situation like we had with Trev Chalobah, and Joe Fares would speak to this way better than I would, but you almost can only get them either very, very young or in the Championship, can't you? It's kind of tricky with those big, they tend not to. Go ahead, Dave. Sorry.
Going back to Friday night, was that a Man U loanee, or was he Sunderland's player that scored that?
Diallo.
What a hit that was. Goodness me. Yeah. Brilliant. Yeah. Pass. I think he's a Man U loanee, isn't he?
It's an interesting one. Do we need a Stewart type signing in January, half inch of player from promotion rival? And then we've already spoken about the players putting the numbers up. I mean, Collins is the player of the month, and I don't know whether that's a possibility. If you look at a couple of the signings we've made, Harness from Portsmouth, was a player of the year from a club that are in the top six, aren't they? So Maybe it's not impossible.
No, I was literally, my mind was wandering, and I was just thinking, do I ask the chat about whether we do a Marcus Stewart type signing? So Matt's, I've been spending too much time with Matt at ITFC women matches. He's read my mind there, but I'm looking through the goal scorers in League One.
Clark Harris is possibly one.
Out, isn't he?
You know, Giovanni, you've got Brown and Nombo at Exeter with 8 and 9. Yeah, there's not many options. Ellis Harrison, maybe? I don't know.
I can think of worse, to be honest. Eric, Dave, McKenna said we're not getting the rub of the green. Thoughts?
Certainly didn't. Certainly didn't yesterday, because even with the blocks, let's put hitting the bar and hitting the post to one side. You know, as you said, you know, you get the shots off and the blocks. You know, how often do you see those sort of just deflect, wrong foot the keeper and fly in the back of the net? So, yeah, we're not at the moment. But look, that I'm an advocate of that always evens itself out over the season, generally, I think.
Bits, Jenny Rindo, if we was to lose players to Championship clubs, what price would you expect? Wolfie Burns, Morsi, Humphreys. Humphreys wouldn't be a lot, sadly, because he's only started a game or two. So that would be a low baller. You would think Morsi and Burns would be above the million and a half mark, and Wolfenden maybe slightly more. But we've discussed this so many times. People don't give League One clubs a lot of money for their players, do they?
No, and I think Ashton would be resisting anything like that. I can't imagine we need to sell to buy either. So
no, he'd beat that off, I think.
Colby Bishop, I don't think Pompey are going to sell to us.
I think we've burned our bridges there, haven't we?
Yeah. Could we sign someone from Plymouth? Unlikely. And like you pointed out, Dave, they've got some excellent players there, but a few of them are on loan already, aren't they?
Hardy's got seven, sorry. Plymouth's leading scorer, Hardy.
He's still Ryan Hardy.
Point Bricks, where they had five players, I think, who all had six goals. We did it on the EFL thing. They all had... So they've got a good spread there of sort of strikers.
Seemingly, because didn't the lad on loan from Aston Villa pick up? Finnerzy picked up an injury, didn't he?
And that's a good point. Yeah,
he's out for a bit, isn't he? Oh, going back to Loney Aston Villa or anything else. You see, Louis Barry score his first goal for MK yesterday.
I did, and I was very pleased.
Waltzed round the keeper. Yeah.
Just quickly, I know he used to play for Norwich. What about Mehmeti from Wickham? What price would they want on him? He's very good, isn't he?
Yeah, lively. Yeah.
Yeah, lively. Guys, thank you for your questions. We'll go full chapter and verse in the preview show, but it is Exeter at the weekend in an early kickoff. And let me just bring the table up quickly to try and illustrate the point we were making. Exeter are one of these teams who have kept the momentum from the promotion last season. And even though Matt Taylor has gone to manage Rotherham, and I think we're a bit surprised that it was Gary Caldwell that replaced him, they seem to have kept it up. And again, I know it sounds overly simplistic. Look at the goals scored column, and it's 31, which is nearly in line with that top four who have got the big goal threat and the big goal power. And they are a good fun club, actually, Exeter, that... they keep the managers in for ages, so it looks very dominated by Giovanni Brown. he's top on their ratings, top scorer, top assist as well. But if you look behind him, Brown's got 9 and Nombe's got 8, Stansfield there with 4, and Archie Collins there, who I'm sure the boys will talk about in central midfield. I like Exeter, Rich. They're a good competitor. We were saying these things about Cambridge last year, but maybe Exeter a little bit more. How can I be fair? Because I like Cambridge and I like Bonner. A little bit more expansive in the attacking.
Agreed. Yeah, it's worth a few bits and pieces to pick out, and we'll go through this in a little bit more detail on the pre-match. Exeter only 16th in the last six match form table. You know, there's a couple of 4-2 defeats in there as well. So that consequence of the attacking intent is that they're open at the back as well. But they are the fifth highest scorers in League One. So that is something that I've mentioned the three issues we've got, and one of them being frailties at the back. It's going to be a challenging game. It really is. At the very least, unlike Cheltenham, unlike Lincoln, I don't expect Exeter to sit off us. So
no.
it could be another 4-4, couldn't it?
But that might suit us, Dave.
Exactly. Yeah, I think it'll suit us. Yeah, and you should say you've sort of got me worried about this front three. Are very mobile and lively, aren't they? But I think they'll come out and play. So yeah, should be looking forward to it. Should be a good game. And yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if it perhaps is a 2-2 or something like that. Lots of
variety in those in those three boys up front. And I like that. It's like, right, okay, you know, you've got Steve Bruce, maybe it's not a good time to quote Steve Bruce, but you're only as good as your attackers, and get your best players on the pitch and If three of them are attackers, then why the hell not? That's quite a good segue, Bits. Super chat. Great to see you guys yesterday. Shame Ben was not with us due to his blue star being too big to put in the car. Okay, there we go. And then I'm not going to read the second one. I'll just let him bury himself. But thank you for the super chat. It was the second ever Blue Monday Live event last night. Rich, how did it go?
All right, I'll maybe hand over to Dave. I'm too close to the logistics to really enjoy it. So Dave can.
No, it was brilliant, mate. Brilliant, brilliantly organised by Rich. And we know all the hard work that he put into. So it was great. And you know, for me being a founder, me and you, Ben, it was just another great night. And
Where was it, Dave?
Sorry,
where was it?
Whoever would have thought. So Bobby Robson's suite at Portman Road, whoever would have thought it. And yeah, it was just a Margaret Fowle father Potter's come, and really, you know, really professional. I think a really professional event, really well put on again. Brilliant guest, Russell Osman, was good value, and he reached absolutely
there's someone
brilliant value.
Who would fetch a 25 to 30 transfer?
It came up then.
Did I ever mention how 2-footed he was? Yeah, absolutely brilliant. And I've got to say again, talk about professional, the Ipswich, Joe Sheehan, Blue Wilson, and Kieran from the Ipswich Ladies spoke really well again. Every time I hear those guys speak, they're so impressive. They really are. And I think thanks to Theo and the rest of the guys at Portman Road for giving us the opportunity to have it there. But great fun. Personally, the highlight of the evening was obviously Joe Fair stole the show in his non-flame retardant Ipswich circa mid-90s shell suit, which was absolutely brilliant. And another story, I won't not say too much into it, but yeah, what I tried to get into it.
Dave and Joe did well to keep the bar dry. Dave, what have I told you about drinking at work? Come on,
mate. I'm sorry. I just don't know what happened. No, a brilliant night, and we did have a little bit of an after party. We had a couple in town afterwards, and yeah, great fun. But it was a really good night.
So, Richard, we will hopefully, maybe even this season, we might be able to make a return. But it's so fantastic for the podcast to think that the club would let us miscreants in, and to have Russell Osman there as well, Rich, is just amazing, isn't it?
And also, not to forget to have our Rich plugging it on Radio Suffolk yesterday lunchtime as well.
Yeah,
Dave and Joe treated it like the Coventry Conference.
You have to.
A few people have queried it, Rich. We did broadcast the last one as a podcast, but we kind of wanted this one to be a standalone event just to really give value to the people that had come out and, you know, make it. We talk about living in the moment and whatnot, make it special for them, so it won't be available on a podcast, which, Richard, is all the more reason why you should come to the next one. Yes,
exactly right. Yeah, I do have the audio actually, but the quality is really poor. So I'm shocked. I'm obviously
how was Dave's mic technique, by the way? I wasn't there to police it.
There was a little bit of issues with the mic generally, I think, not just Dave. They're wireless, Ben. So we were having signal issues with everyone. So these are the things that I see that no
but
one
it wasn't
knows
like
about.
That.
Waving the microphone to get a signal, but everyone was good.
No, it was me waving them. Well, Ben, I just don't know how we'll get on next week, Dave.
I forget the question. Bits took photos as well. So what we will do is Bits took about 80 odd photos. I'm not sure.
Oh, he just maybe. Bangs them out, doesn't he? Yeah.
Oh, he's unbelievable.
Brilliant. So we should be giving him a super chat. So what I'll do is I'll stick them into a montage and stick some music on it. If I can lift any of the audio, I will. But people paid a lot of money in a particularly tough time right now, and we kind of owe it to them to make it a self-contained thing. And to be fair, I've said it on the night and I tweeted it earlier, but we're so grateful for Casper and the events team, which Theo, who's a friend of ours now through the sponsorships that we've done as well. Marcus from the media team, a lot of people behind the scenes kind of signed it off and made it happen. And it was a pinch me moment to walk through Portman Road thinking, we're here to do Blue Monday stuff. And it was great to see so many people in real life, having seen them on the Telegram and on the chat. And it was a tough one yesterday because there's probably a bit of a big too big a gap between the event starting and the end of the game. So there's lots of bits we can learn, but I think I'm hopeful the club are keen to have us back. They were really friendly, the staff on the night, and I think we may try and do it again before the end of the season. But yeah, it was just great to see lots of people there and lots of really kind words out. Ed from Editors was aware of it. He gave us a nice message. Graham Matt gave us a nice message, all the best and all that kind of stuff. So a lot of goodwill going into it. And we'll maybe partner with some people and maybe try and do something a little bit special towards the end of the season. And I think someone said the P word. Can you do a promotion party kind of thing? It's like, nope, not yet.
That's the only problem TBC. With arranging it near the end of the season is that the tension could be off the charts, but it may well not be on a match day next time. So yes,
and we need to say
my
thank
apologies
you.
And I will be there.
Well, and we need to say thank you. So we had messages from Matt Holland, Fabio Wardley that Mikey sorted out, and obviously
so
you and Hugh as well. So thank you to everyone who got involved.
Well, I need to have a word with Hugh because he promised the win, didn't he?
It was lovely, tempting of fate, because we didn't know how to start the show.
No.
There you go. He's like, oh, yeah. And to be fair, we'd all indulged in a little bit of that, hadn't we? So,
but there we go.
Thank you, everyone. And we'll get the Bits' montage with some appropriate music out during the week.
There we go.
The Women's Official Supporters Club. Maddie from Her Game 2 there as well. So, yeah.
And I've got to say that to Sully, you made it all the way across the game yesterday.
He came to the last one as well, didn't he?
He did, Sully. Absolutely superb. Heading back today.
North America Supporters Club scarf.
There you go.
He lost the mug that we hands across the ocean. I gave him a Blue Monday mug that he lost in a bar somewhere.
I think the mug went missing somewhere between the Arcade Tavern and the Swan. I mean, I don't quite know how that
someone's
happened.
Someone's got a freebie.
But
no, it's great.
It's brilliant to see him. And look, everyone else, it was absolutely brilliant night.
Awesome stuff. So look, what a great way to finish the podcast, because we were a little bit anxious and antsy about a few things, but obviously very grateful for where we are in the table at the moment. So look, we will be back for the preview show, and then it's Exeter at the weekend, and hopefully all eyes on League One and League Two as we go into the World Cup and there's no Championship and Premier League. Get involved over on Telegram. We'd love to see you over there. Twitter, Instagram, all of that good stuff. Dave, last word from you.
Here's to the next live event.
Oh, yes. Richard?
Have a great week, everyone.
And if you put in lovely comments, I will click them up as the outro plays. Thank you, everybody, for watching and listening. We'll see you very soon.
It's the promotion run-in. Everyone is gathered round to watch. The McNuggets share boxes are there, offering much-needed distraction. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping, but in you swoop to steal the last nuggets and claim all 3 points. Oh, and there is the Harry Clark fist pump to celebrate. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in at participating restaurants.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.